title again?
Anda de lole di ele du mare.
Is it rolling, Bob?
Is it rolling, Bob? You tired of that one yet? Hope not, because I like using it. Is it rolling, Bob? And, of course, you know, if you're a regular listener to the Dixon James podcast, that is the voice of Bob Dylan calling back to Bob Johnson, the recording master, what do you call him? You know, the guy who does the recording stuff for you. Anyway, I'm sitting here in Bluffers Park Beachside for a change. The beach is open now. I complained about it earlier and they shut it down for the winter, but it's open now. It's a cold April morning. You can hear the geese and everything in the background, the ducks, the seagulls. It's a beautiful day. The sun is bright and shining, and it's just, you can just feel, wow, this is the beginning of spring. It's here. There's not a trace of snow anywhere anymore. And yet not many people. All the picnic tables are empty. Usually on a weekend, as we get into summer, this place is full. It's a lovely view. I turn my head and I'm looking back at the little marina and up at the bluffs. Just a different vantage point. God damn, I hate that wind. I've been listening to Will and Bill on Cast Roller Podcast. They do a good job and they consistently put this thing out. Although, gosh, I was under the impression those guys were going to be doing the podcast buffet, and I haven't heard an episode yet. I'm very, very tempted to just hijack the damn thing myself, find a partner, and put out an outlaw episode just to get things started, because I really do believe we've got to rebuild this community. The old timers, the ones of us who hung out at Pod Camp Toronto, some of the earlier core group, are just cut off from so many of the independents out there, the younger ones, who don't even know there is a Canadian podcasting community. But however, we've talked about that before on this show, and I don't think that's where we're going to go today. Damn it. I can't change my position here. It's Saturday, and I got to go in. I got a bag full of papers and tests to mark. But there's no way I can go straight into my basement office, even with its bright yellow walls, and start marking when it's Saturday and the sun is shining. I got to get a little fresh air time. I put on my shacks. I remember my boys laughing. Dad's got shacks. What the hell? I didn't even know what they were, whose shack was. But, that's the brand name on these fancy running shoes I'm wearing. And, boy, they were comfortable. Haven't worn these for a year. And that just encourages me to go out and take a walk, get some exercise, burn off some of this fat. My God, my diet is awful. I just, I'll just go for an awful lot of junk and shit. And sooner or later, like maybe when I turn 65, I should start taking better care of my health. Speaking of which, that little party, which you would have heard about if you were a consistent listener to the Dixon James podcast. I just put out the episode last night, 394. Was it, or 395? No, 395. Keep getting my numbers wrong. Talking about all the planning that went into it, but I was really trying to express the whole idea of process, of having an idea, and being sensitive, I guess, or tuned in to the options around you. I don't know if that came across, but that's really what got me so excited, was this idea that, okay, how do I solve this problem? How do I celebrate my birthday without, you know, necessarily bringing people to my house? What are the options? And I'm not going to go through the whole thing again, so don't panic. I'm just trying to talk about being open, you know, being receptive to ideas, to invitations, to opportunities, to messages, whatever you want to call it, just being tuned in. So I think it's coming together. And yesterday I was thinking, what am I going to do for food? You know, you don't want to just give people beer and then, you know, after the movie, 3:30, 4 o'clock, you're hanging around and drinking more beer, and what are people going to do? Hey, just send out for pizza. Find a pizzeria nearby and get a bunch of pizza. That's perfect. It's so easy. You don't need a big setup or anything else. I guess I could bring in plastic plates if necessary. But you just a couple of boxes, a few boxes of pizza and some napkins. And again, makes for a cheap party, but it's one I really feel excited about hosting. Saying, hey, here you are. I got you a movie, I got you some beer, and I got you some pizza. Now shut the fuck up and thank me. You know, that's just what I want to do. However, it is not going to be about shut the fuck up, because another idea came along. And now this one, oh, shit, bank. There's only one direction I can sit in, for Christ's sake. It's not my favorite. This idea was just one hell of a lot of fun and ate up so much of my time. And here's the problem. And maybe some of you are familiar. When you're kind of artsy, and I don't mean artsy necessarily in painting and crafts, but you want to do things, you like creating things, you like just abstractions, you like ideas, you like playing with things, you like seeing things take shape and form, come into reality somehow. So I'm thinking about this little gathering as from the point of view of a teacher, and think, okay, after the movie, I'm going to hang around for a couple of hours. What are we going to do? And I thought, well, okay, I want to get conversation going. I want to get a little game. So how about one of those games like they have on, they're called icebreakers. When you've got a brand new class, first day of class, you want the students to stand up and talk to each other. Speak in English, get to know each other's names and stuff. So you come up with like a bingo sheet and it says, find someone who speaks French, find someone who has a daughter, find someone who has lived in Africa, you know, and there's a whole range of questions, about 25 of them, and they're supposed to go around and write the names down. Of course, they always cheat. One person just stands there and copies off everybody's sheet, but it doesn't matter. It works. It gets people up and moving and they get the idea, and then you can play with it afterwards, and it's fun. I thought, okay, that's a good one. But, of course, being my party, my ego that's behind this whole damn thing, it's going to be about me. So I start off, and I'm thinking, okay, when and where did the Scarba Dude create his first podcast? And I start with kind of a line of questions like that, so that the joke being that listeners would know. And very soon after, I abandoned that because another idea emerged. Said, wait a minute, no. Just some different types of questions that are a little more, they're tied to stories of my life. Like, I'll give an example of one of them because I won't give the answer. Was what did Ken do when the Nigerian doctor jabbed a blunt needle into his buttocks? That would be one. And of course, there's a whole story behind it. The story of my malaria back in Nigeria and in the middle of the night, just, you know, sending Gregory out for help. My God, I got this malaria fever again. I had it about five times. It's miserable. You just get these waves of fever and you're in pain and uncomfortable, and then it goes away and then it comes back. And you know there's something in your body that's causing harm. It's just wicked. And but there is, you can get a needle and it will help. But I know this was a needle that had been used probably time and again, and oh my God, did it hurt. So I think, okay, there we go, you know, and they can just sort of try and guess the answer. And so I'm arranging this on, you know, you got a sheet and A4 size paper and 25 squares. And the middle square was, who the fuck cares, you know. That was the bingo. That was a giveaway. And you got to get five in a row. And first one that gets five in a row of anything gets a prize. And then I go a bit further and say, no. I don't like that. I'm gonna get rid of the specific questions about, you know, when and the podcast and things, but more, they're all pieces of story for my life. There's going to be a question about the Yukon. There's going to be one about Japan. There'll be one about Mexico. There'll be one about Nigeria. There'll be one about all these different adventures I've had that, most of which I've told on these, you know, past 400 podcasts. And then I think, okay, hey, hang on. Get an answer sheet. So one sheet, the A4, and the other one's going to be the answer. So somebody will have the answers. Oh, well, that's kind of neat. Well, how are we going to do it? Well, wait a minute now. So somebody's got the question. Somebody's got the answers, which just are a few words. And the answer by itself is just going to be crazy, you know. What? It just seems unrelated. So you've got to match up the questions and answers. Well, that's a lot more fun. So I've got this, all these questions, and they just flowed. And I just, wow, I got, in no time, I got 25 questions. I got 25 answers. This is really, really neat. This is the way, you know. Like one of the answers was a tire iron. Well, that could fit to several different questions. So thinking, okay, now I've got this up. It's on my, I've done it on my iPad. I've booted it up to, or I've gone to the cloud. I've got it on my main computer. How am I going to print these things? So this is all continuous problem solving, developing an idea. That's what I'm talking about. Again, it's this process of doing this. I'm so excited. I'm doing this while my students are writing an exam. I'm not sitting there correcting other exams. I'm just firing on all cylinders. I'm so excited about it. God damn, this is fun doing this, you know, coming up with these answers. And I'm laughing at some of them. And this feels really neat. So I get it up onto my computer last night on my new iMac. And I'm like, okay, now, God damn it, I can't get these things the proper shape. And what am I going to do? I got to print it out in paper. It's going to be a flimsy little piece of paper. I'm going to cut it out. Do I have to paste it onto a card? Or should I print it on a sticky Avery label and attach that to a card? Or what's the deal? And then I go in and I think, okay, different colors. Get one sheet of paper for the questions, another color for the answers. And I reach into my box of all the leftovers from 20 years of running an office at home, and I come up with some old business cards. And I look and I go, holy fuck, that's perfect. You take a business card and you run that through and it's stiff enough, and you put each of your questions on a business card. So I copy and paste, because it's the only way I can get it done now that I've already written these things up in a nice font, and ram out these printed cards. And then this morning, okay, well, I just got to find a little envelope. And sure enough, I find like these old clear plastic, you know, sleeves to put in the questions, put in the answers. And now the idea is, okay. So everybody who comes in gets a question and an answer. And you got to match them up. You got your question. And if your answer fits, well, then there you go. You've got an answer. You've got a pair. You know, a question and an answer. But if you don't, if it doesn't work out, and grammatically it has to work as well too, you know, you got to look for tense and subject and everything, then you got to trade with somebody. Well, you got to talk. You got to walk up, and you got to exchange cards with people, and that's the whole idea. You got to trade. You got to say, well, what's your question? Well, what's your answer? Well, this one fits. And you're going to have a laugh. You're going to be talking to strangers. You're going to be doing exactly what I want people to be doing, because there's going to be a lot of people there. Well, not a lot of people. Only up to 15 so far, but God damn it, I got to get to 20. So if you're listening, send your request to get an invite from me, would you? DixonChains@gmail.com. And you're going to have this conversation. You're going to make jokes. And even if you try to destroy the game by insisting on the wrong answer, it's going to work. It doesn't matter. Now, I thought today, okay, that's neat. So you get them all. They're matched up. And they can be wrong answers. But then somebody's isn't going to work. So here it is. Take the game to another level. All right, I'm sorry. But the whole point of this game is everybody has to have a matching. You just can't hang on to your tire iron answer that, you know, matches whatever question you got in your hand. You got to make sure somebody else has got a matching one. So the whole idea is cooperation. Everybody wins, you know. And of course, as hokey and as corny as that sounds, you make that your goal and you watch the game disintegrate, and you watch it get sabotaged from within. You watch people refuse to cooperate and play, and that's all part of the game. So I'm only telling you all that. And as I'm telling you, there's a parallel voice going on. Like, there's one voice that's just motoring on, that's just talking to you. That's the voice you're hearing right now. But what you can't hear, oh, it's hilarious, is this other voice, the little man up in my brain, standing above the words that I'm shouting out at you. This other little man saying, shut up, shut up. No, don't tell him. You're going to spoil the whole fucking thing. No, don't tell them now. Just spring it on them. Man, if you give away the secrets, it's ruined, you know. But I'm thinking, hey, how many people who are actually listening to this right now are actually going to be at that party anyway? Probably not a whole lot. And what difference does it make? I don't think a whole lot either. But I just needed to get out of my system simply because it was just the act of creating, the act of doing, the act of problem solving. Like just that business of how am I going to print these things? How am I going to get it from this piece of paper onto this? And then coming up, finding some leftover blank pre-perforated business card sheets. And then, holy fuck, perfect. Absolutely perfect. This is just, all this has worked out so well. And that was fun. And that is the kind of thing, my little bit of advice here, as you get old, that does keep your mind young and active and keeps your brain functioning and at least being able to cope with the changing world around you. Keep on playing. Keep on playing. That's what this is about. And this was all play and no work. Now, damn it, damn it, damn it. If only I could apply that kind of interest and that kind of creativity and that kind of enthusiasm to the things I do for money, like my classes at school, my students come in this summer. Why don't I have this game set up for my students this summer? Why don't I devote the energy? The simple answer is, number one, it's not about me. And number two, it's just not as much fun. This was the idea. This is the thing I had to run with. This is the thing I'm picturing in my head that counts. It's my friends. Oh, damn it, eh? And I guess that's the difference between me and successful rich people. They apply all their creative intelligence towards making a living. I don't. But I don't care. Anyway, that's enough, I guess, for today. That's what I wanted to share with you. It took a long time to get through that story, but that's the start of Dixon Jane's podcast number 396, if I decide to let this part go. So back on, I'm going to continue on my little walk, and then, God damn it, I got to get into my office and start marking and see where that gets me. All right? So take care, and thank you very much. Now I'll go back to Bill and Will talking about, oh my God, if all this Google shit, Google Reader going down, and what's the other thing I use for my podcasting, you know, when I'm putting it up there. Oh, come on, what is it now? What did you guys say? All the stuff that they're taking down. What do you call that when you get your stats, your Google stats, your oh fucking I gotta bring my glasses on. Welcome to episode 92 of the Castroller featuring evening, April 2nd, Bill D's Castro News. Thinking of features for podcasts, Feedburner. Yeah. I gotta find a Feedburner solution. Do I don't even know. You know what I need? Here's a little request there. From a regular listener, kind of a guy who's informed and knows all about this shit. Come to my house sometime. I'll treat you to lunch. Look at my whole operation. How is it that I do the podcast? Never mind, I'm happy with GarageBand. It works, and I know how to put it up in an XML file. I know how to do all that shit. But there's probably something in my system, my way of doing things, that could be better, that could be more efficient, that could be, I don't know, protection against when something falls down. I know Rob Lee has already helped me out. It's thanks to Rob and Catherine Matthews and their generosity and kindness that you're even hearing this podcast, because that's where it's being hosted. But I don't like to lean on Rob. He's done that for me. He's fixed my kitchen sink. He's done everything. He's got me extra beer. He's done a lot. Thank you, Rob. Much appreciated. I'm not going to ask any more. I'll get somebody else to do this. Somebody like Mark Blevis, who's always calling me on my cell phone, damn it. Mark, come to Toronto and help me out. All right. Talk to you later, and off I go on my walk. Take care. I hope you're having a good day, too. Bye for now.
attempt a crash landing. Please extinguish all cigarettes. Place your tray tables in their upright lock position. Your captain says, put your head on your knees. Captain says, put your head in your hands. Captain says, put your hands on your head, put your hands on your hips. This is your captain. We are going down. We are all going down. Together. And I said, uh-oh. This is gonna be some day. Stand by. The record of the time. This is the time, and this is the record of the time.
How to get the U.S. onto sustainable energy instead of petroleum, importing and burning up petroleum. A serious workshop started and supported by Andrew Marshall. And you won't find anything about Andrew Marshall on the internet. This guy started in, like, forebrain thinking about the whole world history in the United States in 1948. He ran the RAND Corporation in Santa Monica, which is the kind of big think tank of the West Coast. Then in 68, Richard Nixon appointed him to a major office called Net Assessment, which looks forward 50 years. Everyone calls Andy Marshall for advice before doing anything. So at the time that he sponsored this workshop, he had gone in front of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which is all the generals in the war room, and said, this Iraq thing is terrible. This is a disaster. And they all listened because this guy was the forebrain. He is the forebrain of the Pentagon. He has the institutional knowledge, and he has the balls to say anything. And at the time he was 85 years old. He may be passed away by now, I'm not sure. Again, no information on Andrew Marshall. But, and of course, the Joint Chiefs said, we don't have a vote. We know this is a mess and a disaster. We don't have a vote in whether this thing goes ahead or not. We've got an out-of-control executive branch. So Andrew Marshall is one of these, he's a shaman. He goes between, very quiet between communities. And what he decided to do, get this, how ballsy this is. He goes out to North and South Dakota, and he meets with tribal elders. They bring Andy, and they bring a bunch of Pentagon senior planners and a couple of generals. Now, this is like, what was it, Little Bighorn country. You know, there wasn't a good encounter the last time between those tribes and the U.S. Army, right? Well, it turns out that the chemistry worked, and Andy knew it would. They sat down with the elders, and they said, let's talk long-term. Let's talk 500 years. What is going to be the best for this continent, for the health of this land? And guess what they figured out? That the elders had already been thinking of giant wind farms on their reservation. And the elders had kind of done back-of-the-envelope calculations. So what did Andy do? He funded them $30 million in a study to be done to figure this out. It turns out that these elders in the Lakota, I think it was the Lakota and a couple of other nations, had figured out, we're a sovereign land. So all the barriers that happen to putting up giant wind farms elsewhere are not going to apply to us. We can probably go ahead with this. We can become, they call it the Gulf, like the Middle East of wind for North America. The wind just roars through that part of the country on a pretty continuous basis. There's a wind belt. And they figured that they did the calculation, 100,000 high capacity turbines on the res, not even anywhere off the reservation. And they're generating one-third of the electric power needs of the United States from the res. And one of the discussions was, do we want to do gambling, or okay, do we want to become
I'm going to fade this out right now and encourage you, the Dixon James listener, to go to Lorenzo at the psychedelic... what does he call it? The Psychedelic Salon. They're very good. This is number 346 with Demi, I believe. A case for more. A case for more something or other. I don't know. Windmills, I guess. But anyway, it's Saturday night. It's my show again. I'm going to just pass. I was feeling guilty, like stopping him, because I have been just fucking stunned by what I'm hearing by this guy. Like, I've been totally sucked in, and they go, wow, this guy knows what he's talking about. Sounded awfully intelligent. I'd recommend you go back, listen to the beginning of that when he's talking about the, NASA and other stuff. Like, this guy seems to be very intelligent, very well informed, and very connected. So, check that out. And again, the importance of voices like Lorenzo in the Psychedelic Salon of saying, hey, where is mankind going? Like, it's a message you want to pass on to everybody to say, hey, take a serious look at who you are and ask yourself, who are you? Oh, yeah. Seriously. Because, what are we driven by? What makes us the way we are? And how about this bigger picture? As I left the bar, I was on my way out to have a toke, and some guy, in the guise of an Ethiopian, he claimed he was an Ethiopian, he had a nice little Yasser Arafat scarf. He got into a talk about, power, I guess it came down to, who has power, and I'm not so sure I like the direction the conversation was going in. So stepped out, but ended up here in the parking lot at the GO station to tell you that once again, I've had a very pleasant night with my buddy Brian, who some of you will meet at my birthday celebration, April 20th. Is it 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock start? 2 o'clock, I believe, start of the movie, show up at 1:30. And, yeah, just how much fun it is to go to the only cafe and have a few beer. And then, if there's a band, walk on up to the Eaton House and check them out, too. And she was a hot one. I don't know about the band, but the singer was certainly grabbed Brian's attention, that's for sure. Anyway, here I am in my car. I'm about to drive home, and there's always the voice that says, don't even record from there because you're going to sound drunk and they're going to think you're stupid. And then there's the other voice that says, record from there because you're going to sound drunk and they're going to think you're stupid. And the second one's not nearly as bad because, hey, asshole, I said I was going to try and be honest, be in my best. This is who I am at any given moment. Right now, I'm a man who would like to get home. But meanwhile, I was holding a bright candle in his hand and has got to put it out. So I'm saying to you, boys and girls, when I get a little toot into me, damn, don't I think the Dixon James podcast is one of the greatest fucking things going. I really do. And then there's a little tinge of guilt. But you see, I'm hanging out with Brian, and being a Catholic, he is always going to have far more guilt than I ever will. So I can get away with it, you know? Yeah, I'm Protestant. We like ourselves. So there you go. I'll probably put a plug to this now, get myself home, hopefully not eat any food when I get in, but you never know, you know? You get in home and you just want a snack before bed. Boys and girls, thank you. Thank you, as always, for listening to the Dixon James podcast. And stay tuned because there's a whole lot more. But meanwhile, go back and listen to our good friend, you know?
As a listener.
Lorenzo.
And it was mainly that the military people who arrived that day on the reservation just sat and they listened. They listened for 2 or 3 days before they said anything. And then finally, and the elders respected that. And they determined at the end, you know, we're both long-term thinkers. We care about our kids and the generations down. And the military people did too. We care about that. You know, we got a fixed salary base. You know, it's not about, we like to gain in rank, but our salaries are public. You know, we're just kind of people in a system. And so we think long-term preservation of the system. And we worry about our political branch sending us off into disasters. So next time you think about the military, especially the higher up, I tell you, half, you know, I would say 70% of the people I've met high up in the military, I'd prefer them any time over a political character, political creatures that we get. They're much more solid individuals.
Wow.
So shamanic travel between
holy
these
fuck, eh?
So does anyone have a comment?
Seriously, I'm really... Well, I got a comment. I'm impressed with you,
I
buddy.
I can tell you way more stories, but I want to give everybody a bit of a breather, including me.
Yeah.
Question up front.
Okay. We're not going to hear the question, but God damn, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that amazing? Oh, I'm glad I found that. It's almost like, hey, get your head out of your own ass and start listening to other people. There are signs of hope, and this guy just fills me with hope. I sent out a tweet tonight, a very stupid tweet, and I said to, it was to Dave and Isabel, and I said, hey, I fucking need you to be friends, or I need you as a friend, fuckheads, or something like that. And it was just simply because it was just the simple truth. I really, I want the friends I think I have to be real friends. That's what I'm talking about. Anyway, time to go home and talk to you some other time on the Dixon James podcast, because you know I'm going away for a long time. Thank you and bye-bye.
Let's see, Leonard, Robert Reiner, Richard Bowl, Stuart Margolin, Artie Johnson.
There's another one that's, yeah. Interesting.
Right? Jackie Coogan, John Astin, Lou Gossett Jr., Richard Mulligan, Tony Geary. So some pretty heavy-duty guest stars on this show.
There was a time in about 1978,
I think it was late August, where all you ever saw was Liz Gossett Jr. Then he just disappeared.
Yeah.
Like, he was everywhere for, like, 3 weeks in the late 70s.
Well,
he was
and then
five movies and 83 TV shows.
Yeah, how the fuck in the 80s, he had a do these guys as well. Not so know TV this shows stuff?
Yeah, fair enough. So he was the powers of Matthew Starr.
Of course.
Of course. I always thought that he was like a sports celebrity. That
okay, we're gonna tune that out. You know that is those are the voices of Anthony Marco, Dr. Dave Broadbeck, and Bob Goyetch on Best Episode Ever. I mentioned it too many times on this show, so I'm not going to talk much about it other than I really like the show. But what fascinates me about it is, I mean, I know they're using Wikipedia to get all the cross-references and everything else, but how much TV these guys must have watched. And I'm kind of glad, in a weird way, that I didn't. It's a 20-year difference in our age. It's basically, these guys are 20 years younger than me. Well, that's a lot of cultural changes going on. Oh, my God, a flock of swans taking off. It looks so nice. Those things are big. Here at Bluffers Park, yeah, Tuesday morning, it's my day off. Well, my day to catch up on everything. And, of course, I say, no way, not till I get to Bluffers and have some time to myself, which is what we're doing. And, of course, on the way here, I'm listening to Best Episode Ever. And I've wanted to capture their favorite expressions. Like, Dave always says, fair enough, fair enough. And I would love to make an audio clip of the things, you know, on Anthony Marcos. Now, don't get me wrong. And they have these regular bits that they do all the time that it just you'd know right away who it was. And if I just had the time and the discipline and the focus to take these snippets out of their shows and assemble it for your listening pleasure. Now, again, if I was 20 years younger, I might, but I'm not. So I listen to this and I think back to my own TV days. And what was it? I lived in the house in Lachine. We had one TV, black and white, for the most of our lives. Like, my father was, oh, not, those colors don't look very good, you know. My father was frugal, but he was right. Like, sometimes you'd look at what the early color TVs looked like. Shit. And so I can't even remember. And it seemed, when I think of it, it was in the living room. You could not be further away from the TV the way it was set up. Like, there was a diagonal from his chair all the way to the TV. And, of course, no remote controls. You had to get up. So you never changed it. You left it on CBC or whatever. My father would enjoy watching the hockey game with a pint of beer occasionally. But basically it was his TV. It was a TV in the living room, so I couldn't get up there and put on. And the shows my father liked later on in life, which were, All in the Family and WKRP Cincinnati and Barney Miller, those shows I could relate to because he would watch those. But I never watched TV. I mean, I was listening to music down in the basement all the time. I was putting on records with the headphones. I was, you know, getting high. And TV just meant nothing. So every one of these shows, these guys go on about, I think, what the fuck? Miss that, miss that, miss that. And I don't miss having missed that, you know? Great, good. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. God damn, do I ever get sidetracked easily. If I had a dollar for every time I got sidetracked, I wish I had a puppy. Yeah, fell flat. But that's a visual. It's a little joke. I'm going to put up for my students and ask them to decipher. I give them these little quizzes every day, and that'll be the one for them, you know. Yeah, the punchline is sidetracked, which is what happens here on the Dixon Jeans podcast. there's plenty to be outraged about today, so we probably should shift away from my grand birthday celebrations, although I think we're getting pretty close to the 20-person mark. Going to have to remind all those people that, hey, you're going to have to cough up $10 to get in to see the movie so that I can give $8 back to the owner of the theater, which basically is what gets us the space for the afternoon. And covers the liquor license, the extra $2. And the beer. And anyway, we're not going to talk about that on this episode, okay? I had a Skype call from my son last night in Vietnam. That was pretty thrilling. And it was right in the middle of a very nice message from Dr. Dave Broadbeck. I did call out, as you know, I probably mentioned it earlier on, in a drunken state. I love you guys. For him and Isabel, I'm just determined, I shouldn't say this publicly, but I'm just waiting for Porta Airlines to have a discount again so I can book a flight up to the Sioux and visit them. That's my plan. Speaking of plans, a theme I love to run by you on this show is how things kind of unfold when you just sort of open to them, you know, you just sort of, boo, be receptive, and weird things happen. And I talked about how hard it was for me to make that decision to leave the Canada-Japan Society, and once I did, and in fact, when I was at the last Ichimokukai, I think I told you, I felt so out of place, I felt so done, so finished, I was almost like a ghost from the past, like, whoa, I'm not in this anymore. And I don't miss not doing my Youth Justice Committee hearings anymore. That's okay. That's behind me. Got very happy to have slipped into the 5-year mark and got that nice little souvenir paperweight. But yesterday I was online at school. My students are writing an exam, so of course I sit with my iPad and I surf, you know, Facebook and follow up links, and you do Twitter and read about Christopher Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens, Richard Dawkins, and a new guy I got to tell you all about in a minute as soon as I find the link, because that's where we're going to go. We're going to get into some dark places today, folks. Oh, yeah. Speaking of dark places, again, I'm pissed off at Apple. I have complete set, well, a lot of Laurie Anderson music, and I bought it years ago from Apple Computer. When they were, like, copy-protected. And I can't even play them on my new Mac, because they're not authorized, or they've been authorized on other ones. I can't copy them into, what the hell, oh, Dixon Jane's podcast, because they're copy-protected. And it just pisses me off. I know they don't do that anymore. You pay a little extra, and you're free to use them how you please. But, man, Laurie Anderson was great, and I have a couple of things that I really wanted to include on this show, and it's just going to make me annoyed to have to go and find a workaround to get them to play. But anyway, let's put Apple aside. And I've got to type in my number here to find. Oh, damn. Now, where were we? I was going to go on to this other guy via Richard Dawkins about Islamophobia. Oh, yeah. So yesterday, sitting there while I'm playing on Facebook and checking email and stuff, I see a message saying there's something coming up for ESL at my college. And I said, okay, follow that up because I got to do a presentation for April 19th for young Japanese students who, you know, I'm going to try and convince should go to a community college instead of a private language school because they'll get a better education and et cetera, et cetera. But I got to get some information. So I follow up this link and suddenly I see, hey, there's a program being offered on counseling. You can actually get another certificate for counseling, and you got to take 4 courses, and there's one on the overview sort of counseling, then there's individual counseling, then there's family and group counseling, and then there's ethics in the whole business. So 4 credits, you get a little certificate. Now, if you remember, if you're a longtime listener, I did the same thing, and I got my certificate in teaching adults from this same college. And this is after getting my mediation certification from York University, and after getting my TESOL certification from Carleton University. I like doing these things. I actually, the guy who was branded with a G in grade 5, who repeated grade 11 because he could barely scrape through high school, really likes studying and pull off A's in these courses because it's fun to learn. So the lights start ticking. I think, holy shit, you know, maybe I could take another course. If I can get it at, you know, teacher prices, it's $400 a course, but if I can get it for, say, $25 a course from my college, I'm going to take that. I think, dude, you're busy enough. But no. When I gave up these other things, Canada Japan Society, the Youth Justice Committee, and so on, it was so that I could open other doors. And suddenly, out of the blue, randomly, going down this little path, not knowing where I'm going to end up, I come across these courses. And wait a minute. This one starts April 30th to May 30th. 1 month, 3 days a week, all day, like 9 to 3:30 for a month, you got a credit. And the next one starts exactly the weekend after. Bam, another one. Bam, 2 credits, you're halfway there. By the end of June,
I'm done. My students don't get here till July 9th, 22nd. I could do this. And suddenly, and another voice goes, hey, man, what are you talking about? This isn't even part of a plan. And the other voice is saying, that's how life works, man. You just got to be open and receptive, and things come your way, and you just jump on it. And I'm finding at this stage in my life, here at the ripe old age of 65, I'm just getting more and more excited about things, more turned on to things, more open to the flow of things. And I'm just very, very excited about this. So I filled out the form. I tracked down. I followed it up. I got the paperwork. And I'm going to drop it off Wednesday and say, hey, if I can get in at insider college teacher prices, I want to sign up for these two courses. Thank you very much. So stay tuned, because at the end of it, amongst all the other feathers in my cap, I can have a little counseling thing. And I've got the perfect office right now. And what the hell, when it comes time to for a retirement project, there's nothing wrong with being 67, 68, 69, 70, doing counseling, a little bit of counseling work, even if it's volunteer. So there you go. I'm excited. I just want to let you know my brain is refreshed. I'm excited about life. And let's carry on. Now, what is my password? Damn it. Okay, oh, wait, here we go. Mm-hmm. How do I get that? Okay. Sorry, I can't share that with you. God, I'm even logging into the wrong thing. Oh, fuck off. It's not right. Oh, there we go. So, would you hang on a second now? Because I've got to get this passage. Now, I'm going to go on a bit of a rant here, all right, if you don't mind, on a particular religion. Maybe I better stick this mic up. Hang on, I'm going to put it up here. Pardon the noise. There we go. Okay, can you still hear me? Hello. Okay, we're good. This is a man called, I'm going to scroll to the top, Sam Harris. Now, Sam Harris has been slammed by The Guardian, other British newspapers, and so on, for stating what he feels is the obvious and the truth. But, of course, people accuse him of hating Arabs, of being anti-Muslim and Islamophobe, etc., etc. And they've taken his words out of context. Now, I read him. I guess I try to think I'm not a person who's easily swayed, and yet I used to feel worried that I'd read something, and oh, yeah, bam, I buy that. Then I read something else. Oh, yeah, I buy that. I think I'm actually getting to be a little better at being critical and knowing with much stronger conviction what it is I believe in. And when I find something that I say, yeah, fucking right, man, fucking right, I have this strong, strong conviction, and I feel good about it. Like, I'm not just being swayed and moved along with things. You know, now sometimes there's a weakness. For example, take today's big news story, how the banks, the Royal Bank, and it turns out all the others, charter banks here in Canada, CIBC, TD, etc., are hiring foreign workers on special contracts to replace Canadian workers so that they can outsource the work, take it back to India in this particular case, to another third-party company, save a lot of money. They already make, like, billions in profit. And again, it's like the way I'm getting angry at Apple. I have been a Royal Bank customer for 50 years. 50 fucking years. I've got very good service right now from a guy, like my bank, my account manager is, I really like the guy. I enjoy going into his office. He helps me with financial planning, all kinds of stuff. No complaints about that personal service. But the fucking filth of the kind of money where they just nickel and dime people out of this, out of that, and especially the poor, so that the shareholders can have these huge fucking profits, is disgusting. And this idea, like, they had very real Canadians say, I just lost my job because it's been outsourced to India. There is a bit of a public backlash, and rightly so, and a backlash of those same fucking politicians who are in their pockets, who are all playing the same game and letting them get these visas for these people to come over. It was just like hiring the 200 Chinese miners for mine in British Columbia because they couldn't find Canadian workers. Now, you know I'm not always on the side of big labor here and unions and so on, but in this case, something is sure fucking wrong. And I just hope, I was very proud of the one man who said, bam, here's my last Royal Bank check. I'm closing my account. Now, to me, that's pointless because all the other banks are doing the same thing. But God damn it, I wish we had a responsible government, which we don't here in Canada. However, that's not really what we're going to talk about. That's just one of the things that is an example of how easy it is to be swayed by whatever they dish out on the daily news story. And of course, my son will tell you, well, they do that because they don't want you seeing what it is they're not telling you, because there are bigger stories out there. And I know from reading the latest book I have about the inside history of MI5, MI6, it's very interesting. Holy shit, the crap that goes on around the world. And what a complex, what a complicated, what a frightening world it is we live in. And here we are, the little people, blissfully unaware of how dangerous the real world is for the people who make the decisions, from the people who assassinate others, from the people who hatch plans to take over countries, to bomb things, and so on. Of course, that gets us all the way back to the topic of enjoyed that tune. That's another one that my number one son passed on to me. I did that because I was the clip you were listening to went on for another 15 minutes, so I went beyond my normal 1 hour. But more than that, I got into some very negative talk, and I said things I wanted to say in, you know, at that time, feeling the way I was, but there was just a lot of anger. And I thought about it after, and it was one of those times when I listened to myself and said, no, you don't need to give your listeners that bad feeling, share it with them. Come back to it another time when you really feel like a rant. So I just sliced the clip off, and here I am, giving myself 6 minutes to complete the end of this podcast. And forgive me, but right behind this podcast, or right after this podcast, is another one my interview with Tim. I haven't put it up on a new feed yet, so for now it's just appearing in the Dixon James thing, but it's possible that Tim and I will have a regular exchange going for a while. Who knows? You know, you listen to the third one and you decide if it's going to go anywhere. But that's going to follow. So you're going to get two back-to-back Dixon James podcasts. However, I'm realizing more and more that lots of my long-term faithful listeners are not listening as often as they used to and just catching one now and again. And I think, gee, that's just fine because, hell, I can't stop putting them out every week. But I really don't expect anybody to have to keep up with my pace. I'm just doing it because I have no choice in the matter. You do have a choice whether or not you're going to listen. So, you know, anytime you want to take a break, you just feel free to go ahead and then come back in whenever you're ready. I'm going to read another little quote from Notes to Myself. I was just delighted to go on Facebook and find there was a whole page devoted to this book. This one here. There's something about compliments that scares me. Part of the reason may be that I'm afraid of getting something that can subsequently be taken away. I put myself in the hands of this other person if I let my emotions lean on his statement. Another reason. I'm being put on the spot and now must watch my actions to keep him thinking this way about me. Another. There's a part of me that knows I am not as good as his compliment implies. Another. I have been insincere when saying similar things. So that's just one of the many random pieces. What I love about this book is that you can just sort of flip through and pick out anything. I read another quote at length on the next podcast. And I'll leave it there. Just to say, all is just churning along well. Oh, by the way, I think I left off saying that if I could take those courses, if I could get them, like, for $20 a piece. And I found out I couldn't. They're not covered. Only the teaching of adults was covered. So I sent an email to the woman. I said, you know, rip up my application form. I'm not taking them. And then mentioned it to my wife, and she said, go ahead, and gave myself another day to think about it. This is the courses on being a counselor, or the leading up to a little counseling certificate. And I'm pleased to say that I went ahead, and I reapplied, and I'm paying the full fare, and maybe that's good for me, that I'm actually going to go ahead and invest $1,600, another $1,600 in my education. What the hell? Over a lifetime, that's not a lot. I'm thrilled to be going back to school for a fourth time. I think I can fit these in the counseling process and individual counseling and just see what comes of it, if anything. I like the idea of being a student, and this, I don't know, it just seems to fit. And what's funny about it is already I'm thinking, oh, if I have to do an assignment or a paper, I'm going to use Notes to Myself because there are so many things in here that tie in with my other book. By the way, I never do this, but I am now. It's Saturday night, and I'm in the basement bar. I just get so happy when I look at this library. I want to share it with more people. A whole section on Leary and LSD, the Beatles, all the Alan Watts books, my Henry Miller shelf, oh my God, the existentialists, so much, so much, so much. I'm looking for my, there's Timothy Leary again, oh, tons of it. It's just a fantastic library. It's really, really wonderful. Now, I guess that's a dumb thing to say on a podcast. You can't see it, and there's a few books in here that I haven't read. 1968. Here's the one. I got my hands on it right away. Carl Rogers on Becoming a Person. My university Bible tied in around the very same time as Notes to Myself. I guess I won't read anymore. Well, I mean, just look at these things. What it means to become a person. Oh, I guess I've hit my 6-minute mark. I'm going to end there. But I just wanted to say, I'm excited that through this whole flow of life and the openness I've been talking about, I'm taking more courses. I'm really happy about that. It's good for me on so many levels, and I'm going to leave on that positive note. And this, what you're hearing, is replacing all the ugliness that I had previously recorded. So there you go. Enough said. Stay tuned and enjoy the talk with Tim, the Hollywood guy, the Hollywood podcaster. That's coming up next. Bye for now.